welcome to the Goal Lines Podcast, your Mid-Missouri football guide. If you don't already subscribe, find us on Apple Podcasts and Google Play.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's installment of the News Tribune Football Podcast featuring the Lincoln Blue Tigers. I'm your host, Tony Hawley, sitting here with Trevor Hahn of the News Tribune. And before Trevor and I start to dice things up this week, let's listen to a little bit of Trevor's conversation with Lincoln head coach Moses Harper.
Well, just bouncing back to last week here, you guys were in a game at the half, a little momentum, 14-point surge to go into the halftime trailing 28-21, and then kind of the wheels fell off on you guys, and they run away with that one in the second half. So just kind of what was your feeling walking out of that one?
Oh, we got to stop hurting ourselves. I tell the kids after the game and even today, I tell them we got to stop hurting ourselves and the few selfish penalties there that hurt us with a guy getting ejected, and then we got a selfish penalty on the sideline. You know, we're giving up 75 yards of selfish penalties right now. And if you look at that, that's all us a core third quarter of the football field. So if you're doing that, you're already spotting them points and spotting them yardage. You're already starting from behind. But go ahead.
Now you're moving in. There's two conference games left, and it's two of the upper teams in this conference. So just what is the hunger level trying to get a conference win at the end of the season?
Well, we're hungry because we need to learn how to win on the road. And what a better test to have than go up to Kirksville and play a really solid Truman State football team. Right now, this is a program where we want our program to be moving forward, and this program has been established for years, and they've done a great job in this conference. So going up here on the road, this would be a great test for us to try to go win one on the road. We need to learn how to win on the road, and we need to get us a conference win.
Yeah, and just kind of what are you looking at their offense? Seems like they can hurt you in a lot of different ways.
Well, they got a really good running back, and they're very sound offensively. Everything they've done been very sound. They got some things we worked on in practice. They'll do some shifts and motions. But I've been playing Truman for a long time. They typically like to run the ball and hit you with the play action. You know, they like to ground and pound as well. So this would be a good matchup for us to try to go out and see if we can stop the run and try to stop it from hitting us over the top.
Yeah, and defensively, it seems like the polar opposite of what you saw last week. It's a really good run defense, and they're last in the conference in pass defense. So just kind of what have you noticed from that unit?
Yeah, well, we're going to still try to be us and see if we can generate something up front and see if we can get some control of the line of scrimmage and see if we can try to hit some of our guys down the field. You know, I think Isaiah's starting to get a little comfortable being in the pocket and starting to understand what we're asking of him and try to push the ball down the field a little bit. So it'll be a test. You know, they do a lot of things. They get into a three down, a four down. They get into a bare front. They'll send a little pressure. So our guys up front definitely have to communicate this week to pick up whatever they throw at us up front.
All righty. Thanks, Coach.
All right. That was Lincoln head coach Moses Harper. So, Trevor, if you looked at the first half score last week, things are looking pretty decent, you know, or one score game, and then all of a sudden somehow Lincoln found a way to lose that 163-21 last week at Missouri S&T. So real bad second half, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, to say the least. And you fast forward halfway through the first half, they're down 28-7.
Right.
So it's kind of that situation where you tell Moses Harper, like, hey, you're trailing by 21 and you're only going to be trailing by 7 at the half.
Right.
They're going to take that situation every single day of the week.
Yep.
And they scored with 15 seconds left in the first half to make that even better. They had all the momentum going into the locker room.
Right.
And then fast forward to the end of the third quarter again, and all of that momentum was gone and the game was essentially over.
Yeah.
So it was just kind of the perfect storm of a spiral, kind of what we've seen
right.
A few times with Lincoln in years past. And it just got away from him quickly. The offense had a pretty good performance in the first half and then kind of was a zero in the second half. So there's not too many good takeaways that you can like be walking out with outside of the fact of the way the offense responded from getting a 21-point deficit in the first half, because that's been a situation they've kind of folded in all year long. So that's kind of something you can build off of, but then you have the negative right after that of putting up zero in the second half off of it.
The confusing part to me is you kind of, again, games are not played solely by a box score, but sometimes box scores give you a good indication and sometimes they're just confusing. Like last week, the Miners end up with, you know, a 20-13 edge in first downs. Rushing is about equal. You know, they have a 168-130 edge. Passing's about the same. I mean, it's 274-221. So the total offense only ends up being, you know, 440-350-ish. So you go, what the heck happened then? You know, because it just seems like there's nothing in there that leads you to believe this was a, you know, you got tripled up by somebody.
Yeah, two special teams touchdowns aren't going to help with that. Right. First drive of the game for Lincoln, they're forced to punt. I think it was an errant snap that goes into the end zone, recovered by the Miners for a touchdown. So that put them behind the eight ball early. And then Lincoln goes down and ties the game with a long Drees Howard touchdown run. And immediately afterwards, they try to do a sky kick to kick it away from the third down running back for Missouri S&T. That's their kick returner, widely viewed as the top returner in the conference. Okay. Kind of sailed on Mo Awele a little bit, got to the returner. He takes it to the house. So that's kind of the situation there where you don't really gain any offensive yards from plays like that, but you sure do gain 14 points. And so that kind of helps with that situation. But I mean, just looking at the numbers overall, it's semi-promising. The fact that you can put up offensive numbers that way. But right. I mean, you also have to take the negative. You have to convert those yards into points. Right. So,
because again, we've been talking all year long, we really wanted to see Isaiah Tate get better in terms of his passing numbers. And again, nothing last week was completely eye-opening, but you go, you know, for him to go, you know, 9 of 21 for 210 yards, that's kind of what we've been kind of wanting from him. And again, the offense as a whole was 11 of 25 passing for 221. So you go, okay, that's, you know, what if at the start of the year we had said, you know, knowing that this was going to be a run-based team and that was going to be what they concentrate on, and you say, hey, you're going to have games where you get 200 yards passing as well, you go, then maybe things are looking very good for us. But like you say, it's just not being productive yardage.
Yeah, and the most impressive part about Isaiah Tate last week is that two-minute drill they executed. They get the ball back with less than a minute left, and Moses was telling me that they're really just trying to get into long field goal range. Like, let Mo Awele try one from 50 yards out. So they were really trying some short things, and then all of a sudden he connects with Israel Tate on back-to-back 40-plus yard conversions, yeah, or connections to get them inside the five. Then Max Rodriguez gets his first career touchdown with on the next play. So in a drive where they were looking to kind of 10, 15 yards their way down the field, they ended up with a three-play touchdown. Right, so, right. That's a huge positive just for a confidence thing. If they are in that two-minute drill or they are in a situation late in the fourth quarter in a close game where they need to open up the offense, you really think of that McKendree game,
right,
where they have a chance to take the lead late and they're kind of trying to run the ball down the field.
Sure.
They showed in this game that if they're in that situation again, they're more than comfortable letting Isaiah Tate and the rest of his weapons kind of take over, right, and see if they can get them in the end zone.
Yeah, so again, you look at it, and yes, Isaiah Tate has a 200-yard passing game. Drees Howard has a 100-yard rushing game. Israel Tate has a 100-yard receiving game. And you go, wow, usually when you have those three things going, you're like, yeah, everything's clicking. Well, it's clicking, but then it wasn't totally clicking.
Yeah, 21 points.
Right.
You say those three stats, and you're like, well, they probably scored 42, 49 points.
Right, right.
Nope, they scored 21.
Yeah.
So they're still trying to find a way to get it all working together.
Yeah.
But we've seen all the different pieces work by themselves, and sometimes two or three or three or four, like you've seen those pieces work individually. It's just finding that coming all together and working as one, right, unit is what they're looking for.
Yeah. So the end result is the Blue Tigers fall to 1-7 overall, 0-6 in the GLVC. They'll be heading back on the road again this week. It's a game today at Truman State. The Bulldogs are struggling a little bit this season. They've had a couple real good seasons in a row. This year they're sitting right 4-4 overall and 3-2 in the conference. So it's not exactly as efficient as they've been the last couple years in terms of offense. I think they've been giving up more on defense, and they're, you know, I think it's still a dangerous team. It's just a matter of this is maybe not as hard a game as it might have been last season or two seasons ago for the Blue Tigers.
Yeah, I mean, with that being said, definitely still a hard game.
Sure.
I mean, you look like the numbers are down for Truman State standards, but they're still third in the conference in scoring. They're scoring nearly 28 points a game. They're middle of the pack defense. They're giving up 27.6. So I mean, you look at those numbers, and it's basically they've been in close games almost all season, especially in conference play throughout the Missouri S&T game when they kind of throttled them. So, I mean, it is a team that is still trying to kind of find its identity for what it wants to be. But they're still kind of run the football first kind of team, and I keep calling them the Mid-Missouri Bulldogs this week because they got their roster is just full of kids from Mid-Missouri. I think I have 20 here on my sheet in front of me. And that really starts with Dylan Heron from Blair Oaks.
Sure.
And I'm sure a lot of Blair Oaks fans, this game isn't in Jefferson City, but it's kind of cool for them to see him play a semi-hometown team.
Right. So I think the other thing that's kind of interesting from the standpoint of these two teams meeting is just the history, I guess, is you know, these were two teams that played a bunch back when they were both in the MIAA before Truman eventually left the MIAA, moved to the GLVC. Then, you know, the Bulldogs played the Blue Tigers. I think there was the 1 year where the Lincoln was an affiliate member of the GLVC, and I think they played in that year. I think it was back in 2018, I think it was. But you know, they were, you know, it was kind of like they played each other all the time. It was always a game you had on the schedule. Now with Lincoln moving to the GLVC and getting to see some of those old MIAA foes again, like with S&T last week, it's kind of a neat thing, and it's kind of one of those where you go, I think it's more interesting than some of the games you have on your schedule against teams you maybe have no history against or don't play very much. There's a lot of this. Now, let me reset this and say the history's not been great, because it's, I think, the Bulldogs have won 23 straight over the Blue Tigers, and the last time Lincoln got a win against Truman State was way back in 1973. So you're talking about teams that have played, you know, 30 times all time, and you're having to go back almost the length of my entire lifetime to see the last time Lincoln got a win against Truman State. So I think, you know, it's an interesting one. It's a rivalry, though, that's been decidedly one-sided.
Yeah, and I mean, we talked a lot last week about recruiting.
Sure.
When it came to Missouri S&T, it's another school that's located in your state, and I already mentioned it, been calling them the Mid-Missouri Bulldogs because they recruit this area a lot.
Right.
And effectively.
Sure.
So these are the type of kids that are on that on the Truman State roster that Lincoln really wants on their roster,
right,
going forward.
Yeah.
I mean, you got kids from Blair Oaks, quite a bit of them, to be honest. Some kids from Hawaii, some kids from Capital City, some kids from the Columbia area with Battle, Hickman, Rockbridge, Tolton, and kids from Hallsville. And that's really the area that Lincoln wants to be able to keep home.
Yeah.
And they talk, Moses and I talked about it last week, and he kind of brought it up then, and I kind of brought it up this week, like, hey, we might have talked about this a week too early,
because this
is really the one that you want on your resume when it comes time for a recruiting battle. And like you mentioned, it's been a very, very, very long time since they've been able to have that argument. And it's obviously a losing argument when you look at the amount of kids that they're able to get from the area. So being competitive in this game, at the very least, is a very important thing for Lincoln.
It's worth noting, too, that Truman State has a first-year head coach in Kellen Nesbitt taking over for his father, Greg, who led the team for a number of years. And so I think it's also kind of one of those things that, yes, under Greg Nesbitt, the Bulldogs did a great job of recruiting Mid-Missouri and were able to kind of get a lot of those kids and kind of funnel them up to Kirksville and get kind of a pipeline going. I'm not saying that all falls apart when he leaves, but it will be interesting, like, say, with a first-year coach. You know, it's and it helps that it's a family, it stays in the family, but it's also going to be, he's going to have to also get those same kind of relationships going with coaches and programs and keeping those people going up that way. So yeah, this might become even more important from that standpoint if you just look at it and go, okay, well, if there's an opportunity for us to worm our way in there and maybe divert some of those kids from going up 63, let's keep them here now.
Yeah, and as soon as you started saying it, I was kind of laughing to myself. Normally when there's a coaching change and the last name doesn't change, not much changes within the program. Culture-wise, recruiting-wise, almost all of that stays the same. So, I mean, they're still doing the same things offensively and defensively they were under Greg, and they're still, I would assume, going to be targeting the same kids.
Right.
So, and it being a conference game again just kind of increases that factor.
Sure.
Obviously, Truman State has been notoriously in the top half of the GOVC in recent history.
Right.
And you look at Lincoln in its first year back into it, and they're kind of sliding into the bottom half of that category. So you couldn't really expect too much from Lincoln in year one in the GOVC with the late coaching change and all the other factors that led into it. But like I said earlier, just being competitive at the very least just gives you that argument for when those local kids, you get to sit down with them and you might be able to throw a few things in there to maybe steal a few of these kids.
All right, so I guess I'll just ask you, do the Blue Tigers break this long losing streak against the Bulldogs today?
I don't think so. I'm going to pick Truman State. It's going to repeat exactly what I said on the Jeff City podcast. I already forgot what score I predicted in the paper this week. So we'll go 45-17 Truman State.
All right. That should do it for this week. For Trevor Hahn, I'm Tony Hawley saying thanks for listening.
For more information about this week's game, visit newstribune.com and get game updates and more college sports content all week by following Trevor Hahn on Twitter at TREVHAHN3. That's Trev Hahn3. Thanks for listening.